we're doing the laws of Tisha B'Av. So we know on Tisha B'Av we don't eat or drink, we don't put ointment on, we don't wear regular leather shoes, and we separate from our wives. People aren't intimate. Technically, a woman who's pregnant or nursing on Tisha B'Av, she does fast like on Yom Kippur, but we take into account all kinds of details. Depends on how high her iron is, depends on how the pregnancy is going, depends on how what her history is. So yeah, it's worth asking a shaila, especially this year, where Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos and it's pushed off to Sunday. So bichlal, there's room to be lenient, and you have to realize that the question of a nursing woman fasting is a question of pikuach nefesh for the baby. The baby needs that milk. And a pregnant woman also, you have to know what the deal is. A person who's ill, so it depends on what level of illness. We usually say that bimkom choli lo gozer rabbanan, that the rabbis didn't even institute a fast for someone who's sick, but the custom is that they do fast unless we're worried that it's going to endanger them. Again, in this year we don't do that, but even other years we, you know, ask a shaila because it's sometimes you shouldn't be more stringent because it's only a minig. It doesn't carry the weight of the rabbinic institution of Tisha B'Av. Older people, weak people. So very often we tell them not to fast. People who need to take medication, so they could do that on Tisha B'Av. Minors technically don't have to fast, but sometimes we tell them, wait a little bit with your meal. Sometimes we tell them, just don't eat candy and stuff. Just eat simple food, bread and water. But then they have to be old enough to appreciate why they're doing that. The idea of mourning the destruction. Someone who ordinarily washes his mouth out in the morning on Tisha B'Av, we don't do that. So, what?
I was reading yesterday, I think it was an actual Mishpacha magazine, where they said if you're allowed to rinse out your mouth, the Mishnah Berurah brought it, that if you rinse out your mouth, be very careful not to swallow it if you feel, I guess, that they were distressed.
Yeah, if a person is really bothered, so he could. I could tell you a simple way to cleanse one's mouth is if you have a toothbrush that's not wet. You could, let's say, at night before you go to sleep, you wash out your toothbrush, dry it out, and not dry it, like flick it out so it's not loaded with water. Then in the morning it's soft enough that it's usable, and you could clean out your mouth with a toothbrush. And then, just wipe out your mouth, and then that's a way of cleansing the mouth, but not
without water.
I'm saying,
Without toothpaste,
no. On Tisha B'Av, really, there's more room to be stringent than not to smoke. But if a person feels like he has to take a smoke, it's preferable he should wait until after Chatzot, and he should do it in a modest place, not publicly. There's a machlokas whether we're allowed to smell besamim on Tisha B'Av. Technically, it's hard to get in 100 brachos, 100 blessings on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. We don't wash ourselves even with cold water on Tisha B'Av. We don't even stick our fingers in water. If one's hands are dirty, he could cleanse them, and that's why after going to the bathroom, one can cleanse one's hands. When we wash our hands in the morning, we wash up to the knuckles because it's a machlokas what joint you have to wash until. So lechatzila all year long we wash until the upper joint of the wrist, but really maker din, we hold that the minimal that's required is really only up to the knuckles, the joint between the finger and the knuckles. So how do you wash and ensure that the water doesn't go beyond the knuckle? You pour the water and you stick your fingers into the stream of water, not the way you ordinarily pour the water onto the hand, but rather you pour the water and stick the fingers into the stream.
So is these knuckles here, not these ones?
Right, the upper knuckle where the finger connects to the hand. When one's hands are slightly moist, he could wipe out his eyes the way if he ordinarily does that. If a person is going to daven, so that's how we wash our hands also. A kohen that goes up to duchen, That's how we wash our hands. If you're cooking or your hands get dirty, so then you could cleanse them. If a person has lice or whatever it is, and he has to put ointment, or a person has eczema, or a person has some other rash, he could put on whatever creams he needs to, because that's not the anointment that Chazal forbade. When we say you shouldn't wear shoes, that's shoes of leather, but rubber shoes or other material is permitted. But if it's coated with leather, then that's not permitted. We don't greet our friends on Tisha B'Av. So if someone forgets or doesn't know, so you answer him, but you answer him in a way that shows that you're at a serious state right now. We don't go for walks. We don't go for trips on Tisha B'Av. Aside from the idea that you shouldn't wear yourself out, a person is supposed to be focused on the mourning. We take one day a year, Sach HaKol. It's only one day to mourn the destruction of the temple. There are two customs about whether we permit doing work on Tisha B'Av, and every place goes according to their custom. Talmid HaChachamim abstain from lacha either way. From work, from going to work. Sometimes a person says, I can't not go to work. I had a nurse call me yesterday. She has to go to work. Right, she has to go to work, and doctors have to go to work. If someone's going to lose his job or he's going to suffer a loss from not going to work, so then he could. But our sages say you should realize that no blessing is going to come from the money you make on Tisha B'Av. Nothing good is going to come of it. But if you have to, you have to. We don't learn things that are going to make a person happy. That includes all of Tanakh, Mishnah, Medrash, Gemara, Halacha. We learn the things that have a sad flavor to them. The book of Job, the prophecies of destruction in Jeremiah. We even skip those verses which are verses of comfort. It's permissible to learn the Medrash Anecha, a commentary on Echa and Job, which is very interesting because the Medrash Anecha is very funny. The Medrash Anecha has a lot of fantastic stories. The Medrash is coming to show you how great Jerusalem was before it was destroyed. But the stories are fantastic stories. It's one of the best storybooks you could find, the Medrash Anecha, but that's permissible. We in davening, we say whatever verses are a regular part of davening, and that's okay. On the night of Tisha B'Av in the morning, we sit on the floor. We remove the paroches from the Arna Kodesh. We light one or two candles. We dim the lights. And we read Eicha and the different lamentations, the kinos. We do everything in the form of mourning, because this is the day that the candle of Israel was extinguished. And we're, so to speak, we're partaking of the pain of the Shechina. There are different minhagim as to the kinos. Each congregation will do their thing. We Ashkenazim have the minhag that on Mincha we say Nachim. In the blessing of Jerusalem, we add a portion about how we ask Hashem to comfort Jerusalem. If a person forgot to say it in that blessing, he could stick it into Shomea Tfilah. And if he forgot it there, so he could say it instead of Yale V'Yovo. If he forgot it there, you could stick it in at the end of davening. We also add Aneinu in Shomea Tfilah, in the blessing of Shomea Tfilah of Mincha. And another addition, which most people don't know, is in every fast day, in Elokai Netzor L'Shoni Meira, at the very end of Shemona Esrei, under that, in the Mincha prayer, many Sidurim print a special Yehi Rotzon, where we say, may it be the will of you, Hashem. You know that in the time that the temple was built, the person would bring a sacrifice, and all we'd bring are the fats from the sacrifice. Now we have no temple, but I was fasting today, so I lost some fat. I lost some of my health. Let that be considered like a sacrifice before you. So that's a special Yiratzon that's quoted in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch. For some reason, it didn't make it. Like, people don't even know it exists.
Well, that seems like a pretty good one then, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you should say it at the end of the fast, at the mincha of the fast, yeah.
Is there any Erev Shabbat like today? Is there any in the name about what we can and can't learn? Even though the fast has been pushed off to all Yom Rishon.
Yeah, so technically you could learn.
Okay,
technically
so
you could learn
no
today.
No is anything hinting at Tisha B'Av this afternoon?
As far as I know. But, if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Matzei Shabbos, like this year, so we say Havdalah in Shmoneh Esrei, and then we light a candle and we say Borei Morei Ha'esh. We don't make a blessing on Psamim. In Matzei Tisha B'Av, we make Havdalah on a cup. We take a cup of grape juice and we say Bori Pri Hagafen and the blessing of Avdallah. If you have beer at home, so that might be better. It's not so simple to break your fast on beer. So that's why I tell people to use grape juice. If your wife isn't fasting, so she has to make Avdallah. She makes a blessing of Bori Pri Hagafen and then the blessing of Avdallah. We make Avdallah, those who fast make Avdallah Sunday night. Those who don't fast make Avdallah when they break their fast.
So we don't make Avdallah on Motzei Shabbos.
On Motzei Shabbos, we only make the blessing Borei Morei Yaish, correct.
But you say the whole Hine Yaish.
No.
You just say Borei Morei Yaish.
Correct.
Well, when did you switch from your Sabbath clothes to clothes that are appropriate for Tisha
B'Av? Well, usually you're going to be dressed for Shabbos and go to Shul. And after Baruch Hu, we'll get to that. You remove your shoes. And then when you get back home, afterwards, if you're still going to be awake, you could switch out of your Shabbos clothes, but you don't have to. You could just wear weekday clothes the next morning.
And I asked Kristen about something you said earlier. What if, like, for example, if your wife or somebody was told not to fast, and they said, no, they're not comfortable with that, and they just want to maybe drink water, and like they're not comfortable with eating, it just bothers them.
So they should contact their local Orthodox rabbi. Every fast we have this issue. So technically, if a person is told not to fast, they're right that they shouldn't be having all kinds of amenities. But to what level shouldn't they fast? So that depends on their medical need. Technically, halachically, once a person isn't obligated to fast, they may eat. But there is this idea that when a person can muster the strength to fast till the morning or till noontime, so there is that preference sometimes, depending on the medical situation. So that's why one needs to consult with the rabbi. Sometimes we say, what's the big deal? You know, many times a woman won't eat after 9 o'clock at night or after 8 o'clock at night. This year she is, 7:40? So she eats a big lunch, she eats a big Sudash Lishit, and then she goes to sleep at 9:30, so she had 2.5 hours she fasted. What's the big deal? So she'll fast till the morning. But she gained something. There is this idea to partake of the morning of Am Yisrael and to do something. You know, the temple was destroyed on this day. So there is such an idea, there is such a concept that a person can say, I'm not going to fast the whole fast, but at least till the morning. But then they really have to be fit to do that. And there is this idea where a person can say, okay, halachically I have to eat and drink, but I'll eat and drink just bread and water. I won't eat and drink something else. But if a person isn't supposed to fast, they have to be careful, because I always tell people, you want to fast when you're not supposed to fast, so invent your own day. Why are you fasting today? You're inventing the religion, so you decide what day to fast. What do you need to fast today for? Today you don't have a fast. The halacha says you don't have a fast. It's the equivalent of you choosing next week to fast. It has nothing to do with Tisha B'Av. So people have to understand that once the halacha says that they don't have an obligation, so then the fast halachically doesn't exist for them. And if they'd fast, it means nothing other than what we just said. Meaning that concept that I'm partaking of some of the morning over Jerusalem, and then the question is that permissible? But that you understand what I'm saying? It's not like I did my fast. No, the fast you're not obligated to do. Should one partake of the morning of Jerusalem? So that's it depends on where they're holding medically.
So, but even if they're not fasting, like the other halacha, like wearing leather shoes and all that stuff, that's
right. Right. So
the way they're partaking in the morning.
Right. So even if a person isn't fasting, they're obligated to all the other stuff they can do medically, like not wearing shoes and not sitting on a chair and all that. Right. In the morning blessings, we don't make the blessing of She'asali Kol Tzarki, because we say, I don't have everything I need. I'm not wearing shoes. When one wears his shoes at night, he can make that blessing. There are different customs about wearing tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Our custom, most Ashkenazim only wear their tefillin in the afternoon with mincha. We don't say tachanan mincha, because Tisha B'Av is called, we don't say Tachanan on Tisha B'Av at all, because Tisha B'Av is called a Mo'ed. After the morning davening, we can sit on regular chairs.
We wear the
talis. In the morning, different customs, but usually not.
So we wear talis until the minhah.
Talsantan at Mincha, right. He doesn't go with that minhag, Rav Chaim David Alevi, but that's the minhag. After Shachris and Kinos, so you could sit on a regular chair, even though technically the halacha says Chatzos, but the custom is after your shul finishes Kinos, whenever that is. So after Shachris, we go to the graveyard. There's a custom to go to the graveyard to arouse a person to do tshuva. This custom is already quoted in the Gemara, that on fast days they used to go to the graveyard to think about where they're headed and to arouse people to do tshuva. We have a custom that many people say Kiddush Levana only on Matzei Tisha B'Av. And part of this is the idea that we think of the redemption that's yet coming. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. We're like the moon. As bad as things seem, it never really disappears. It's always coming back. Being that on Tisha B'Av at night, the fires were lit in the temple, so that's why there's a correct minhag that we don't eat meat on Matzei Tisha B'Av. We don't drink wine. And the next day on the 10th too. Ordinarily people are machmir till Chatzos. If it falls out on Shabbos and it's pushed off to Sunday, so then Monday morning already you could eat meat and wine. But when you break your fast, you're not really supposed to eat meat and wine, only the next morning. But some don't have this custom. We have a rule that whoever fasts, whoever partakes of the morning of Jerusalem, will merit to see in its rejoicing.